All right. Hello, everyone. This is another episode of Fire, Breathe, and Rob. Please like and subscribe to us on YouTube. We're trying to build up our YouTube channel. We just started it recently. So definitely share that. We do stories about amazing people that have done amazing things around the community and have a lot of different stories to tell. So thanks so much for that. This is Jay and Angie, and we're going to welcome them to the broadcast. Thanks so much, guys, for coming on. Greatly appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks for having us, Rob.
Thank you.
All right, awesome. So let's start the interview. Can you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves to the viewers?
Well, I'm 45. Angie's a year younger than me. We've been married 27 years
in August.
And got two grown kids.
Right.
That's about it. Other than that, we have 9-to-5 jobs and try to make ends meet like everybody else in the world.
Normal.
Yeah, no, I hear you 100%. So we are talking about the swinger lifestyle in this program, and so I want to jump into that, guys. And what got you guys into the lifestyle, and did either one of you initiate that, or was it just kind of a, you know, come to Jesus moment where you guys just kind of thought this was the best way to go?
We started probably when it wasn't cool, I guess. We started at probably like 20 something years ago, so it's been a long time. And it was Jay that initiated it.
Well, I wouldn't say I initiated it.
We had a conversation about it after some other things had happened. So yeah, it was one of those things that we started messing around with some friends, and it got kind of sexy, and then we started talking about it. Well,
right. Yeah, we all got drunk, and then we ended up having sex.
Yeah, exactly.
And then after that, we decided, hey, we should talk about this. Because I really liked it.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of people think of swinging, they look at stuff that's going on, pornography, and it's totally different, as I'm sure you guys know, than the crap that's on the porn and stuff like that. So with that being said, can you speak about, like, do you guys have rules or boundaries or of how you guys have swinging? I don't know if that's the correct terminology, but you kind of get the drift.
Yeah, we do have rules and boundaries, and it's definitely not like porn. We don't fake anything. It's all real, and you actually make connections and networks with other people. It's not just, let's just have sex and be done. Mm-hmm. You actually create friendships and long-term relationships with some of the people that you meet, may or may not have sex. That's just a icing on the cake, as we say. The sex is just icing on the cake.
Right. No, I agree.
Sex is the reason everybody gets into swinging or wants to get into swinging, or the lifestyle. There's many names for it. But the reason people stay in it are the connections and the friends you make.
Yeah.
It really does become more about the friends you're making and just having a good time than the sex. The sex is still there and it's still important and you still enjoy it, but
right,
you stay because it's fun and you make a lot of really, really good friends.
This is Jay and Angie. They are from AverageSwingers.com. They have a podcast on there. As we go in more in depth into this interview, whichever one of you guys feels comfortable answering this, we kind of brought up the aspect of sex. And obviously in the United States, there's a lot of taboo behind sex and pornography in general. Do you feel like that's why when people talk about swinging, it's like a big to-do, it's like a big taboo, and, you know, we can't talk about this, you know, out and about, if, you know, because people may look at us the wrong way. Do you feel like that's because of porn and just the, you know, the media in general?
It's a little bit because of porn and media and just religion and all kinds of, just the way people were raised and brought up,
yeah,
and their own personal values, and taking their personal values and putting it on other people. Because
Let me try to say what I would say is it's okay to cheat on your spouse, but it's not okay to have consensual sex to someone else with your spouse knowing about it. So our society is not quite ready for consensual non-monogamy as they are ready for infidelity, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you can be a school teacher and find out you were cheating. They're like, oh, you shouldn't do that. They tell you all this stuff. They find out you're a swinger. All
and you
of a sudden,
lose your job.
They say you're a pedophile.
Yeah,
fire you.
Yeah, yeah. It's
the cheating is worse because now you've got somebody who's lying and running around and doing things
wrong.
Yeah. You know, and trying to get away with stuff. We're not trying to get away with anything. I tell her everything I do and want her there and want her participation in it. So cheating is worse, yeah, but
it's more accepted. It's more accepted in society than swinging is.
Agreed. That's really sad. But with all the taboo, how do you meet people, you know, that do have the like mind interests that you guys have? Is it social media, dating apps? What is it?
It's dating apps and websites
and there's, clubs and social media. It's all of the above. Once you there's ways to go find it if you look for it.
It's like Tinder, things like that. There's there's websites. There's like Double Date Nation, Cassidy.com, SDC.com. These are all sites where people sign up and pay
to become members.
And you really do look for people that are paid.
Because those are the ones that have more invested.
Yeah, they're not just somebody logging on to look at pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
They're actually interested in what they're doing and really, really looking. And it does become hard to find people because as everybody is scared of being outed because they might lose their job or get kicked out of their church.
Family
rejection, yeah, all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of pictures with no faces.
Yeah.
So you really don't know who you're talking to. It becomes kind of it's not really scary because we're a couple.
I think it's scarier for single people. We've never done it single in the lifestyle, but there are single people. For me, it would be scarier as a single person. But as a couple, you kind of vet them and you kind of read between the lines when you're talking to them online or something and make sure that they're actually the type of person you want to hang out with. It's like any other dating, whether you're dating as a couple or a single person.
If you're ever talking to somebody and they're talking about a friend and they say they've never actually seen their face, you're probably talking to a swinger. Because we've talked to several people and I have no idea what they look like from the neck up. I could probably describe their butts really well.
That's great. Now, let me ask you guys this. Do you feel like, you know, it depends on the type of area? You know, you guys did speak about the, you know, the websites and meeting people. Does it really depend on the area? And, you know, if you're in New York City, with the bigger population, it may be easier to meet more swingers than if you're in rural Nebraska or rural Ohio, wherever it may be. You find that problem?
You're very correct. It's kind of like the gay community. If you're gay and you're in a small town, you want to move to a bigger town where there's more people. But New York, strangely enough, when we were there,
was
not a big
really
community.
Populated.
Oh, wow.
Lifestylers. And it could have just been that they were more discreet and not as open on the websites and stuff. But when we were up there several years back and didn't meet hardly anybody.
Yeah,
we have here in the DFW area. We have several clubs. It's one of the largest swinging communities.
Where did you say you were? I'm sorry.
DFW.
Dallas, Fort Worth.
Oh, Dallas. Okay. I have a friend that lives in over in I can't remember the damn name. It'll come to me as the interview goes on. Let me go into this though. With that, when we're talking about all that. You know, when you guys go on, do you guys go on dates together? Is it like, you know, it's like kind of a couple's night and then, go ahead.
Yeah. So we do everything together. We, I'm bisexual and he's straight. So generally we look for another couple. We rarely look for single male or single female because that's just not what we want. But we look for somebody who is along the same lines as what we are and what we're looking for. So we look for bisexual females in a couple and straight guys or bi guys, it doesn't matter.
go ahead.
Oh, sorry. It's just because I'm not looking at you guys all the time. I'm looking at the screen and the questions are up. So that's why sometimes when you guys are talking, I'm not looking at you. Looking
usually, straight. We don't actually find people on the websites very much anymore. We host events. Actually, t-shirts I'm wearing is for one of our events. But we usually meet people in person when we go to an event or something. We post them on the websites like Double Date Nation, SDC, and Cassidy, and then people
like meet
and greet. See it and sign up on the websites, and then they come and we get to meet them in person. We do much better in person than we do trying to date online. We'd be stuck at that.
It's usually only one person talking at a time. You're rarely getting both parties talking on a chat group. It's usually only one.
Yeah. Plus, right, she's very pretty, and I'm not. So I need them to. I get laid by my personality, so I need you to meet me in person so I can. Can put that on you or chloroform you, whichever one works.
For people that are nervous to get into the lifestyle, what advice would you give them?
One, the first piece of advice I would give, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. If one of you want to get in it and one of you doesn't, then it's probably not going to work. The second piece of advice is it's not a fix. It's a magnifying glass. So if you have little cracks and creases already in your relationship, it's going to enhance those 100-fold, and because you when you're doing this, you're including a lot of emotions. So if you, whatever your emotions may be, good, bad, ugly, doesn't matter, it's going to enhance those. So the first piece is it's not for everybody, and the second piece would be it's a magnifying glass. It will blow up your relationship either in a good or bad way.
Yeah, what she means is if you get in it because somebody was cheating and you don't want them to cheat no more, so like, we'll just go swing. It doesn't work that way. There's a couple people have done it and it has worked, but it's rare. Usually the person already has trust issues at that point, and then them running around doing things isn't going to help that. So yeah, it doesn't help that way.
Well, let me ask you, go ahead, I'm sorry.
When you get in, really just have a conversation, say what you actually have to say what you really want. You've got to be honest.
And if you
it's
don't
not
know,
easy.
If you don't know what you want, saying, I don't know what I want is perfectly acceptable, as long as when you find out something you like or don't like, you voice that opinion.
And it's, we tell people not to help them get in, but once you're actually really trying this, that one piece of advice you always need to remember is it's never too late to say no. Yeah. I don't care what's going on in the very middle of sex. If all of a sudden I start feeling like really just, I can't do this, I need to leave this situation, I would look over her if somebody's on top of her and go, hey, we need to leave.
And there's no question, you leave without question because you don't want to have regrets. You always want to stop what you're doing and have a conversation about it, but you never want to have regrets about what you did.
Yeah. And if you're with somebody and you're worried about upsetting them, if they're upset that you need to stop and go talk or go leave or get away from the situation, then they're not the kind of people you should be sleeping with anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's common sense mostly. And you're dating as a couple, so you don't just take your emotions in account. You got to take your partner's emotions in account.
With the lifestyle you guys led, I feel like if a lot more people did that, that may correct a lot of divorces. Do you agree with that, or do you feel like that wouldn't be the case?
It depends.
It depends on the people and the relationships.
Yeah, it depends on why they're getting a divorce.
Yeah,
There are still, we've had several friends in the lifestyle get divorced. We've had a couple that have gotten divorced and then married other people in the lifestyle.
And they're all doing fine.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can be in the lifestyle and having sex and have other problems. You can still argue about money, all kinds of stuff.
The lifestyle is just, it's just an added enhancement of your relationship. It shouldn't be a key to marriage or divorce. I think that you talk more and you communicate more when you're in the lifestyle, which is probably lacking in those that are divorcing because there's a lack of communication or a barrier somewhere. But in our lifestyle, there's nothing off limits. It doesn't matter if it's the color of your poop. It's nothing is off limits because you have to have that unwavering trust. And in order to do that, you have to talk about literally everything.
We did not discuss the color of your poop.
No,
I don't know why you brought that up, but it's not a discussion we had.
No, I just said that it
was. Really getting in the lifestyle did help our relationship quite a bit because I was really into group sex. I figured that one out.
And early on.
Yeah. So if I wasn't able to do it, that would probably have been an issue. And if we wouldn't have gotten the lifestyle, we wouldn't have started having the conversations where I could open up and talk to her about that. So it's the open communication that really helps the relationship.
Yeah, something better. And if you can do that and not be in the lifestyle, then, you know, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have that already, that open line of communication, you should be fine. I think the problem with divorce rates now is just lack of communication somewhere.
Agreed. Now, with the person, like you said, you guys have kids. How does that work with that? Do they know what's going on? Is that a big deal? Do you feel like that woman was wrong, that she didn't tell her kids that she was in that different type of lifestyle? How do you guys feel about all that?
The lifestyle is your sex life.
Essentially.
You don't need to tell your kids about your sex life.
No.
True.
But if you decide you want to divulge some of the sex life because you want to help your kids understand, you know, not to be judging of other people and other things, then go ahead and tell them.
So
that's just the personal, it's your own personal thing. She would have been wrong if she told them. Our kids do know because we are so open and out.
Yeah, our faces are everywhere.
It became a thing where we basically had to tell them. Right. So at one point we were going to do a news interview that fell through. So that's when we told our son. Our daughter had already known for a couple of years because she had a friend that asked a bunch of questions. And we didn't want to talk to her friend and not talk to her. So
yeah,
we told her about it.
They're very supportive.
Both of them say they have no interest in this whatsoever.
They have no interest in it, and they're very supportive, and they're proud of us for being able to be out and open as for who we are. So that's kind of cool when it comes from your kids. I wouldn't disagree with her not telling her children, because that's probably a kink that she doesn't want them to know. It's something private for her. Now, a partner or something, she should divulge that information to a partner, but not necessarily the kids or now, other family members.
I will say we tried to keep a bottle on all our stuff and didn't tell anybody about it until both of our kids were out of high school. Because we lived in a small town here in Texas, Venus, Texas, actually. It's a really small town. And we didn't want what we did to reflect on our children.
In a negative way.
Yeah. So we waited until they were out of school, and then
we told them.
We didn't care anymore.
Yeah. And they were like, well, we could have handled it. Like, it's not the point. That was something that I could keep from you having to deal with, and I'm going to do it.
Now, I will say, anybody that says they don't tell their family or their children because they disown them,
or not want to be around them,
people that should tell their family and their children, because obviously there's something wrong with them if they're going to disown you for what you decide to do with your own life. You're not pushing on anybody else, you're not hurting anybody else. So,
yeah.
That's just, I don't like that answer.
We have heard that a lot of times. My family would not accept it. I mean, they don't have to accept it. They just have to accept you.
Yeah, so agreed.
It just depends on you and your situation, your family, how you grew up, how much information you want to give out. You give out as much as you're comfortable with.
Do you guys have any weird encounters that you have met people that, you know, like I said, on Bumble, I may meet a woman and she may look a different way than she was in the picture. Do you have any guys have any experiences like that?
We did one time. We were supposed to meet a couple at one of the local restaurants where we used to live.
Oh God!
And I was looking at, all you could see was neck down on the male and female. And I'm looking, and Jay says, "Well, I think it's a black guy and a Hispanic girl." And I was like, "Okay, that's cool." So all night I'm watching the door for a black guy and Hispanic chick. And at one point our faces are out there, so people know to look for us. If we can't find you, come find us. But for this particular couple, you went to the bar to get us a drink. And then he saw a gentleman, and the gentleman waved at him. And Jay goes, "Oh, I think that's the couple we're supposed to be." And I'm looking at him and said, "That's a tall white guy. He's not, no. And his wife isn't even Hispanic. I don't think so." Their pictures, the way their pictures were, it threw him off and threw me off and kind of threw the whole date off.
They were very attractive.
Very attractive, very fun, and very nice.
And the website actually does tell you all that information if I would have bothered to read it, but I didn't.
Information's there. He just didn't divulge for that information. He didn't look for it. And since I hardly get on there, I didn't think to look. I trusted his judgment. He was clearly wrong.
Okay. Well, the thing is, we were meeting people for dinner like at least every other week because we called it the Marie Outreach Program. We had a friend who actually helped us start our podcast, Marie. She set up all our stuff for us. I don't know anything about tech. So, but she informed us because we didn't go out with new people. We didn't like the newbies because they needed to figure out their stuff and everything. And we just didn't want to deal with it. And Marie scolded me one night and she was like, no, no, we met horrible people and we were about ready to stop doing this until we met you two. If we would have met you two first, it would have been much better. So you guys are the ones that need to meet new people. So we started saying yes to anybody that asked us to go out.
Yeah. Just to dinner, just to dinner, just so we could meet and see how you were, if your personality fit. We would never tell you if you should or should not get in the lifestyle, but it would be easier for us to say, okay, you probably have a couple of trust issues, you know, maybe work on that first, you know, something like that. But we would go out with people all the time and not even, I wouldn't think to ask him, but then he was very specific, so that was one funny thing.
We still will go out with almost anybody that asks us to go out for a drink dinner to meet them and talk to them because we want everybody to have a good experience. We don't want you meeting horrible people to be the reason this doesn't work for you.
Right. Yeah. So we're positive promoters of the lifestyle. So if we can meet you and give you a positive outlook on how we deal with things and how we are, how much we enjoy it, then that's good for us in the lifestyle. Then I want to do that. I'd rather you not meet somebody who's just preying on new couples, you know, and there are people out there that do that, but they don't get the best experience that way.
Right. What did make you want to start the podcast? Was it just Marie setting it up and giving you that idea, or did you guys have that idea in general for quite a while now?
Well, I was a podcast junkie, and we started in 2012, so it's been a while.
Yeah.
I was a podcast junkie. I just liked all of it, and then
couple of podcasts you really liked no longer going.
There was only like three lifestyle podcasts at the time.
When we started.
So what I was like, what the hell? We can do this. Because I find myself very entertaining. Kind of like why you started yours. You found yourself entertaining. I think all of us have a little bit of an ego. I think everybody that does a podcast, we all have a bit of an ego and we want to put ourselves out there. But the reason we kept going with it was because we found out it was actually helping us talk about things.
It helped us work through our thing. It helped us work through our emotions, sometimes situations. And doing it on a podcast also lets other people hear raw feelings, if that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And Marie, like I said, she's the one that told us to do the outreach thing. She was also pushing for the podcast because she's like, you guys would be great at this.
So we actually started in 2012, and we started on an iPhone in the Walmart parking lot.
Because our kids were small.
Because our kids were younger. The house, yeah. So. And his mom lived with us, so it was just like, we can't have a normal conversation without ears involved, and we still wanted to keep it private at that point. We didn't even know how many we were going to put out. So, we recorded, I think, 5 or 6 before we released any of them. Mm-hmm. But we started with like zero tech and haven't moved that much.
Well, with that, how many times a week can you tell the viewers a little bit more about how many times a week do you do it? What is the objective of the podcast? Is it just basically to give people that maybe are newer to the lifestyle, as you stated earlier, more information about it?
We do it once a month. We release once a month, and always the first week of the month. It's a schedule we've gotten ourselves into, and then our objective is to share our stories. We did everything wrong you could possibly think of in the lifestyle when we first started, and if you can learn from our experience or get a good laugh, then we've done something for you.
We don't really, we're basically entertainment now. All we do is we're just messing around, having a good time. We recorded last night with the
Double Date Nation.
The couple that started Double Date Nation. Oh, wow. Just chit chat with them, talking about my penis.
Yeah, we rarely have a a schedule or an objective of things that we have to, you know, discuss at a certain time frame. We're not scheduled people. We just wing it.
By the way, you giggled a little bit. My penis has become a very big topic of conversation over the last year because I broke it.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
And I'm just coming out of having a prosthetic penis put in.
Oh, wow.
So,
2 months?
Yeah. I had surgery February 17th to get a prosthetic penis.
Wow.
Which is a pump that you pump up your nail. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That is a story in itself.
That is
a full podcast.
Well, it went on for a long time, and then we did an emotional bit on it recently too. So I mean,
I had an emotional breakdown.
It's an essential part of our lifestyle, you know. Whether you get a breast augmentation or you get some kind of surgery done, you know, it's an essential part of your sex life, and it can affect you and emotionally. You and your partner, not just one. So it's one of those things that it wasn't sexy, but we talked about it anyways.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is incredible. That left me a little speechless, you saying that.
Apparently, people don't openly talk about this stuff normally. And
that's more taboo than the lifestyle.
we've been so open for so long that the idea of not discussing the fact that my dick wasn't working just never even crossed my mind. I automatically stopped about it.
Hey, I just have a couple more questions left. I noticed on your website you do have a May event. Obviously, we have the coronavirus. We'll see if it happens or not. I know Texas is opening up quite a few things on Thursday. The governor just came out and said. What, can you speak about the May event if it does happen and what it is about?
We're
canceled. Going to cancel that. I thought we'd already canceled that on the website. I guess we didn't.
Gotta look at my website. Sorry, I'm horrible at the website. We cancel all our events until further notice.
Yeah, because we usually do monthly meet and greets, and then we do biannual pub crawls. One for charity and then one just for fun. So we've canceled both of the pub crawls for this year, and we've canceled the meet greets for the notice because generally our meet greets, they generate up to 150, 200 people. So we didn't want anybody worried about anything. So for now, all of that is.
Yeah, and we're all very touchy-feely people. So if you get us together, we're all going to be touching.
It's not going to be 6 feet, you know, you give hugs and stuff like that. It's a very warm and welcoming kind of atmosphere. So we don't want to disgruntle anybody or hurt anybody's feelings. So.
Right. No, that's fair.
And make anybody uncomfortable. And we don't want anybody getting sick. So for now, that's where we're at. So generally the first Friday of the month is when we hold our meet and greets. And they're usually at random locations. They're almost, they're never at a lifestyle location.
I was just going to ask, because I know you said it at pubs. Is it at, you know, I know you said random locations. Do you worry about like trying to get a pub when, you know, they know that group of people is coming in? We talked about the taboo so many times during this interview. Do you guys worry about that? Like somebody saying, hey, you guys got to leave or something like that?
No, we do.
Go ahead.
We've been doing this long enough and the crowd's big enough that I do inform. I talk to the managers and set up stuff.
And the bar managers and bar staff. So we've been doing it a long time. And we forewarn them kind of group we are, that is that they'll drink really fast and a lot. So you just need to be ready. And then they're very touchy-feely. You generally don't see anybody exposed anyway, but it gets kind of dirty sometimes.
I walk around and tell people if they start getting a little too. Yeah.
It's not a takeover. We've never taken over a single location. We usually get a spot at a certain area of a bar or something. We don't generally take over an entire location.
And just with the last question, with the event, when you spoke about the pub, I know you say you do a lot of for the charity. Can you speak about the charity that you guys help doing this?
Well, we've done 5 different charities. We generally change it every couple of years. We've done a Peace Officers Memorial Foundation 1 year. We've done the Resource Center, which is a local, what would you call the
resource? It's like an AIDS awareness, and they help people with AIDS.
LGBTQ.
They also help out young LGBTQ people who've been kicked out of their homes because their family.
Yeah.
Things like that.
That's great.
And we've done breast cancer, we've done animal rights, kind of thing. So it's just a little bit of everything. It's just whatever we kind of decide we're going to do that year.
Yeah, because most of the charities don't want us using their logos and talking about them.
Yeah, Resource Center did, but mostly other people did not because they don't want swingers attached to their thing. So we wouldn't give, like...
They weren't getting down on us, but they didn't want...
Any of their other donations.
They didn't want other people to hear about us donating to them and then taking away donations. You know, which is, hey, I don't blame them.
Not everybody's accepting, and we're okay with that. You know,
we're trying to help somebody out. We're not trying to hurt you.
You know, how can people find more about you? Just give out the website. Anything else that you guys want to give out for more information about swinging in general?
Well, you can find us on Twitter at Average Swingers. The website, averageswingers.com. If anybody has any questions from this, then you want to send us an email, averageswingers@yahoo.com. And
we're on Facebook.
I don't ever give that out anymore.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I don't like
we're on like Cassidy, SDC, and Double Date Nation as Average Swingers. And then
we have some events if anybody wants to go to something. We're going to. They're not our events. If you want us to give those out, we were more than willing. We have all the
Yeah, games. Yeah. Shout it out if you're going to.
Okay, so August 28th to the 30th, we'll be at a foam party in Findlay, Ohio. Mm-hmm. If you want information on that, just send us an email. And then September 10th through the 13th, we're going to be at another hotel takeover in Houston called Couples Escape, and it's Excapades.
They don't have a phone local there.
Which is kind of cool. And then October 9th through 12th, we'll be in Miami, Florida for a Podcast-a-Palooza event that is turning out to be
That was supposed
huge.
To be in May.
Right.
And it got moved.
It got moved to October. So
everything got moved.
Those three events are really big on our schedule right now. So.
Right. Well, thanks so much, Jay and Angie. Thanks so much. And it's averageswingers.com. And thanks so much for telling us more about the lifestyle. Greatly appreciate that.
Thanks
You're
for having
welcome.
Us, Rob.
Thank-